Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC and WNYC's Beth Fertig now on Mayor Bloomberg. I said it was going to be one of the best reasons to support the station. Beth Fertig now on Mayor Bloomberg's warning that some schools could lose two-thirds of their teachers under the last-hired, first-fired layoff rules. Regardless of how layoffs are done, it exposes something to me, and that is that some schools have a disproportionate share of inexperienced teachers. So, hi, Beth. Let's talk about it.
Hi.
The mayor is fighting the law, and this is the political context, that requires the most recently hired teachers to be the first fired when there are layoffs. And there are some that say that this list is just a salvo in that battle. But be that as it may, is the fact that Columbia Secondary School, just to pick a random example, would lose 70% of its teachers just a function of seniority?
Yeah, and also that it's a new school. That school's only been open for a few years. It's attracted people who switched careers. I met a science teacher who was a marine biologist before he started teaching at that school 3 years ago. So that's a very special and unusual outlier, you could say, in that 70% of its teachers would get the axe because they're new.
Right. And then there are other schools in urban areas. The Daily News had a heart-wrenching story this morning about a school in central Brooklyn and a little girl who was going there who heard that two-thirds of the teachers in her school in this inner-city district might get laid off and under the, you know, a seniority-based layoff system. And I thought, well, does that tell us, Beth, that the schools with the most needs, the schools in the high-poverty areas in the city, tend to be the ones with the biggest concentration of inexperienced teachers?
Well, you see it at two different extremes, and the mayor had warned about this last year, if you'll remember, when they were warning of the possibility of layoffs for budget cuts. And what happens is they tend to go to newer schools or schools that have recently expanded. The Upper East Side, for example, is a place that has some new schools and a lot of young new teachers, and so that was going to take a hit as well as poor, low-income areas where there's, number one, high teacher turnover, and number two, a lot of new schools that have opened to replace some failing schools. So that's why you see patterns like that. On the other hand, there are places where there's a lot of stability, like Staten Island, where teachers tend to go and stay there for a very long period of time. And so in Staten Island, only 3% of their teachers would be lost. That's the lowest percentage of any of the districts in the city. Same thing with, you know, areas like Little Neck or PS 321 in Park Slope, you know.
Teachers go there, they like it,
yeah.
They stay, seniority lets them stay.
Exactly, and PS 22 on Staten Island where, you know, the kids went to the Oscars. No, not a single teacher at that school would lose their position because they've all been there for a long time. On the other hand, some of the reasons why you also see the disproportionate percentages is because they have to target license areas where they can do without fewer teachers. So, for example, elementary education, that's a very broad license area where you're a classroom teacher. They can do with 2,500 fewer is the projection, but that's 9% of all active teachers who are in elementary schools compared to if you look at music, arts. They're only losing a few hundred teachers, but that's about 15% of all music and art teachers.
So would the layoffs also be based on what you teach, our music and art and phys ed teachers in their own categories? And so the system could decide to lay them off disproportionately if that's who they want to drop and just, you know, keep more of the math and reading and science teachers?
Right. And then they go in different categories of newness. For example, among the elementary teachers that I mentioned, when the city targeted 2,500 for layoffs because they're the least experienced, they went with teachers who have 4 years or less. With accounting, which is taught in some of the career classes, they decided that they could do with 50% fewer of those teachers. So they went with anyone with less than 14 years experience.
Wow.
At the other end of the extreme. However, in some areas like math, they decided they need those teachers. So they only took a 3% cut of 147 teachers, and library teachers, 15% cut with 53 fewer teachers. But they've spared special ed and English as a second language and bilingual special ed and speech, you know, speech teachers, because those are needed to work with the most at-risk kids.
And this is all if this comes to pass. These are
of
the
course.
Teachers who would be laid off if the threatened 4,600, is it, layoffs actually come to pass, if the budget necessitates it, or if the mayor and the city council choose to budget that way. And the context of this is also political. The mayor is trying to win something back from the union through the state legislature. Instead of last hired, first laid off, he's trying to win the right to lay off teachers by merit, or how the Department of Education perceives merit. And obviously the teachers union doesn't like that. But with this list, is the mayor really kind of making his point, saying their hands are so tied that some schools, if they don't have this discretion with a lot of deserving kids — there are no non-deserving kids, but some kid with a lot of you know, needy kids, and also, as you say, some of the newest, which might be some of the best schools in the city with the experiments that are taking place now, are going to have no choice but get decimated unless the mayor gets his way?
It's definitely a bargaining chip. You know, you can see that politically, and the mayor even said during his press conference yesterday that he hopes parents across the city will see this and lobby their state legislators and call their representatives. You know, he admitted that he wants people to see this. He was asked, are you trying to scare people? And he said, I'm giving them the facts. If you see how this is going to affect the schools, you should call and tell your lawmakers to get rid of last in, first out, as it's known, or LIFO. And, you know, so there's definitely a lot of political pressure building on this. When he was asked repeatedly, if you got the money, would you not have to do the layoffs? When his budget was announced a couple of weeks ago, he was asked many, many times by the reporters, what would it take to prevent this? And he made it sound as though this is inevitable regardless. Yesterday, he said it would take probably about $1 billion, because you'd need to close the $600 million gap this year and then more in the coming years. That's why he is setting aside some of the surplus, and this is the argument with the teachers union, to pay down the deficit next year, to close a gap next year. And so he keeps insisting there is really no way to avoid this, because we are going to be in dire times again next year.
WNYC education reporter Beth Fertig with us as we talk about the list released by Mayor Bloomberg of what teachers, based on their category of teaching and based on seniority, what would get laid off and what that would do to certain schools. And the teachers and principals unions got together yesterday to slam the mayor for doing this whole thing. They call it scare tactics. Here's UFT President Michael Mulgrew.
This weekend, when the mayor decided to release information to the schools, it was clear to us that it was a stunt to try to create panic and fear amongst teachers and among school communities. And we are not going to allow that to happen.
And the mayor's response?
We're not trying to scare anybody. I think it's very worrisome, and I think people should be worried. But we had gotten the question a number of times, if you did this, what would, without changing the law, what would happen?
So round and round they're going to go until something happens. I think all the major city newspapers' editorial boards have endorsed changing the last in, first out law and giving the mayor this discretion. It's up to the legislature. It's not just a matter of collective bargaining. Do you have a sense of how the legislators are leaning?
Well, this morning, the state Senate's Education Committee voted to pass the repeal of last in, first out, so to speak. They passed a bill to get rid of it. And that moves on to the Rules Committee. There could be a vote by the full Senate as soon as today, although our Karen DeWitt there says that's unlikely. It would then have to go through the Assembly, which is much friendlier to unions than the Republican-led Senate, the Assembly being led by Democrats. And there's also a lot of skepticism there by members from New York City who say that they would want more input into anything that the mayor is proposing. So we also don't know what the governor would say about this. So I think the mayor is clearly trying to use this opportunity to influence Albany and to get his way. But we also have to see this in the context of what's happening with labor unions across the country. It was interesting that the mayor yesterday wrote an editorial in the New York Times where he said, I'm not anti-union. it's good to have collective bargaining. And he tried to position himself more as a moderate. I'm not like Wisconsin or Ohio. I don't want to do that to unions. I just want to have more flexibility in bargaining with them. And Mike Mulgrew, the teachers union president, said, when asked about that yesterday, he said, yeah, he believes in collective bargaining, bargaining with your hands tied behind your back. You know, so the unions definitely are not taking this at all from him, and they're each putting on their best posture. But what's interesting is there is going to be a new system for evaluating teachers, which goes into effect next year. The Albany passed a law last year. So instead of just having two ratings, satisfactory or unsatisfactory, there will be four ratings. They will, the districts, New York City included, will be allowed to use test scores as a measurement of teacher effectiveness, but they have yet to come up with the exact formula for this. And so this is why the unions are saying you don't need to get rid of LIFO, last in, first out. We will have a way for you to judge more effective teachers in the years to come. But the mayor is saying, I can't wait. We have a budget crisis right now on our hands. We want to make sure that we keep the best teachers regardless. And we should also just, so people understand, Brian, if we say that a school would lose 70% of its teachers in that extreme case in Manhattan, mm-hmm. or 50% or 30% or whatever it is, that doesn't mean they would necessarily lose all of those positions.
What would happen?
It means that if the principal has the budget and says, I want these positions in my school, they could use more senior teachers who are in the pool of teachers that the city pays for who are without permanent positions. Another place where the mayor would like to be able to reduce the number of teachers, because some of these teachers have gone without full-time positions and work as subs for years. And the mayor says that's probably because schools don't want them, but it may also be because they're more expensive teachers. But teachers could use teachers who have been let go from other schools, which is very likely to happen this year with the cuts, and say, I'm going to take this more senior elementary school teacher to fill the position by my first-year teacher who has to leave. So it doesn't exactly translate into the cuts that, you know, we think of when we think of teacher losses.
Now, listeners, just a quick reminder, WNYC, as we told you on the show last week, launched its Public Insight Network, and we are specifically looking for anyone connected to education, students, parents, and educators, who can help us cover education by sharing your expertise and becoming a news source. To find out more about what this means and how to join, go to wnyc.org/insight. That's our Public Insight Network page, wnyc.org/insight, if you would like to be a news source for WNYC on the topic of education. And coming up next, Beth, you know what we'll be doing? With our next guest, because New York did so poorly compared to the nation on the standardized science test.
Oh, you can have a science quiz.
We're going to start a 7-day series called The Brian Lehrer Show Science 101.
Uh-huh.
And we're going to talk to a guest today from the Museum of Natural History on one of the topics. I'll hold for the moment which one. But we're actually going to pick questions from the 4th grade and 8th grade national science test.
Excellent.
And see if our listeners can answer them and then find out what the real answer is.
So, and those tests are harder than the state tests.
That's right. It's the national standard that's considered the gold mm-hmm. standard in these various standardized tests. And whether we love standardized tests at all or not, it is very revealing to see how states stack up against each other and how America stacks up against the world.
So this is what Obama wants to give more funding to as well, with science and technical engineering type of math class funding with the federal dollars that have been coming.
Exactly right. So listeners, hang around, and you will see how you do on some of these 4th grade and 8th grade national standardized science test questions. And WNYC education reporter Beth Fertig, we will be staying tuned to your reports to see if the mayor gets his way with last in and first out. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.